Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
As I said in the announcements this morning, we welcome two new priests. And if your rector had been paying attention to the lesson assigned, the gospel for the day, he would have rightly let someone else, probably one of the newbies, preach. Because this is not an easy lesson to deal with, is it? Ask, you get. Doesn't always feel that way. But let's come back to that in just a moment. Most of you know that before I put on this collar, I was a lawyer. I practiced in a large firm, at least a large firm for South Carolina. It would be fairly small here in Atlanta. And I practiced almost exclusively in appeals. Our appellate team would take something from the trial court and present a question of law up to the Court of Appeals, the Supreme Court, if our client needed to reverse the judgment, or we would be there for our client if it was the other side trying to take it the other direction. It was a good practice, and contrary to the Shakespearean point of view about lawyers, I must say, I worked with great attorneys and dedicated courts. A senior partner, many thought particularly crusty and possibly even arrogant, well, he was at the top of the letterhead. But one thing was indisputable. He was a lawyer's lawyer. Intelligent, experienced, calm, and collect, he knew the law. One particular case I recall vividly early in my career and work with him, probably because I billed hundreds of hours on it, but actually one particular thing that happened is what I recall the most. The details aren't important, just that it was a massive medical malpractice case and we were defending the hospital system. During a meeting early on, physicians were in an office, a conference room, and they were discussing the case with the senior partner and with me. I was already there because we knew that this particular case would present a new question of law in our state. And as we began to discuss, the physicians began to argue with one another, to disagree, and they were going at it. This development, of course, was not a good thing. While they were in agreement about the treatment in the case below, the facts, they disagreed about a couple of things that probably didn't really even matter. But they went at it, and their demeanor could have been detrimental to the case. After about 5 minutes, the senior partner looked across the table at them. But instead of ending the dispute, instead of saying your disagreement must come to resolution, he did something I'll never forget. He interrupted them and simply said, "You two can't see the medicine between you because you can only see each other. Call me back when you see the medicine. Then we'll get started." And with that, the senior partner walked out, and I, the lowly associate, walked in his footsteps behind him. The medicine between them, among them? What? Not the surgeons, not the can-do, I've got this, hyper-trained, super self-sufficient experts? As we walked away, you could see the faces. They were completely white. They went blank. They were speechless. 2 weeks later, in the same conference room we met, we went over the facts. There was still disagreement. But the practice of medicine, it was in the room, and you could feel it. Sure, the case was complex, the trial was complex, but never again did we have to stop to remember the medicine between us. You know, a lot of us think we've got this thing called life, don't we? And for the most part, television and slogans will tell us we do. Just do it. Be all you can be. Is it in you? Have it your way. Because life is not a spectator sport. Today's gospel lesson is one that we need to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest for many reasons, but none of them is greater than this, the space between us. In this simple exchange here in today's lesson, Jesus claims that imperfection will always be in the church, because humanity will always be in the church. But paradoxically, Jesus is also saying, he is claiming that the humanity of our common lives shared in this place is the key to holiness, the key to God's mission overtaking our selfish ways, those ways that today's colic says we just do because we want to feel powerful. A little background here. Jesus is actually speaking in reference to the law. He's talking to them because there's disagreement in the community about Deuteronomy and Leviticus and how you treat violations of the law. There's a disagreement about the place of witnesses. That's why there's this two or three thing going on. But just like a senior partner in a law firm, he was talking to these associates about the trials that would surely be before them and the place of witnesses, but more so about one central fact. Don't be concerned with disagreements, Jesus says. They'll always be there. They'll always be in the church. They'll always be in the body. Look back at the statement of the case in this morning's gospel. We don't even get the facts. We don't know what the brief says. We have no clue what's really being tried here. All we know is that Jesus is teaching us civil procedure. He wants us to get the process right. He doesn't care about the case. He wants the procedure down so that when disagreement comes, because it will, he says, when it comes, Jesus is going to say to you, seek reconciliation. Seek to understand, not be understood. Seek dialogue. Agreement's not in his vocabulary. If reconciliation, if understanding, if dialogue cannot come between two of you, then take it to a bigger group. And if that doesn't work, take it on up to the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court. Keep taking it because you can't let the disagreement become the focus. You can't let it fester. You got to bring it out into the light. And why? Because agreement's not common life. Because the thing in the midst of us cannot be present, cannot be really present, unless we are accountable to one another in reconciling grace and mercy. You see, Jesus is the thing between them, not agreement. Jesus. And here's the radical truth of the gospel. Jesus is most present in disagreement. You hardly need him at all if you agree. Love requires the celebration of the other. Love requires that you celebrate and see the terrific thing in the other. Not that you agree with it. We, as the body of Christ, this place where the Spirit is leading us into all truth, we need to reclaim here in the 21st century that being led into all truth does not mean that God will lead us into uniformity and homogeneity. We don't need to be like milk, homogenized, overly ultra-processed, pasteurized, made so same that we can't see the image of God in everyone. Beloved, this gospel today, this reading is calling us to the deep love of one another, not superficially where we agree, but deep down where only God can be really present in our disagreement. It's easy to love if you agree. That's why dating is so great. But disagreement is marriage. Loving, enduring, disagreeing, still seeing the image of God when you can't fathom what this one that you fell in love with is doing. It's that same thing in Christ's body, the church. And my brothers and sisters, in a world so very divided, so very callous and self-righteous that seeks division as an opportunity to destruct, we must present a deeper love. The space between us. That space between us that God feels. Where two or three are gathered together, and in the midst of them, among them, tying them together, connecting them together, Jesus is present. Jesus says the procedure is to be with one another, not to seek agreement, not to seek uniformity, but to seek life with Him in the space between us. We are called by God, in other words, to gather at this table, to be nourished by the real presence of this altar, because we need to be outward and visible signs of God's inward and spiritual grace to a world that is still in darkness. We are called to be walking sacraments with one another, deep, abiding love. And if this lesson can be learned by an attorney defending physicians in a malpractice case, then the people of God gathered in this body can change the world. For when two or three are gathered together in His name, God promises, despite our differences, in fact, because of our differences, to be among us. Glory to You, Lord Christ. Glory to You.